The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Amen. Thank you so much, Debbie, and also Jared. They sang good together. Amen. Amen. And boy, if my wife and I got up and sang, she would sing absolutely wonderful, and I would probably myself not do so good. But they sounded good together, and I appreciate that. I want to speak tonight on an everyday religion. Now, when I use the word religion, I'm using the word religion in the old-fashioned way, okay? Like old-fashioned religion, where people got saved and it just stuck with them, amen? They got saved. You can't lose your salvation, but I mean, it stuck with their living. I mean, they just decided to act like they were saved, all right? And so I want to give you some things that I try to do to live for Christ every day, that I myself try to do. To live for Christ every day, I think would be good for us to be able maybe to look at and consider some things. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 21, the Bible says they gathered it every morning, and every man according to his eating. Now, can I tell you, a man will change in his eating. Sometimes men eat a lot. Sometimes, but rarely, men eat little. Okay, but we change according to our eating. We're not like you ladies that have it all figured out. Men, probably in the area of eating, will never have it all figured out. And so what is before us, we believe God blessed it. Thank you. We'll eat it all. All right? And so that's the way we live. But the Bible says here in Exodus chapter 16, verse 21, and they gathered, it says, every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun was waxed hot, it melted. Now, why did it melt? Well, you can see that up in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 14 as to these small round things, if you would please, that was covered with frost. And so that which is the melting is going to be done off of that. Well, what were these small round things? Well, that describes that in Exodus chapter 16, verse 22, where the Bible says, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered, it says, twice as much, here it is, bread. All right? So there's these little wafers of bread that God had given them. The Bible says two omers for a man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. All right? So proportionally, they were supposed to gather a certain amount to be able to take into their homes to be able to feed their families. Now, can I tell you that I believe that every day we ought to do things to help us to be able to grow, to be, help us to be able to nurture ourselves so that we don't fall behind the wayside. I never forget, I was preaching with Mike Ray. We had flown over to the Philippines, and the first time I invited him to preach with me, I never will forget it. I didn't know that he had flown to other countries. I did not know his style of travel, but I never will forget it. I was coming out of the airport, and he was coming in out of the airport. We were coming in on two different flights, and he stopped me in the airport. He ran up to me. He said, "Give me five," and so I gave five. I didn't go high because he's shorter than me, so I gave him five. And as I gave him five, he said, "Man, we made it. We made it." And I thought, we made it. I've taken 50-some trips to the Philippines, and to me, just making it to the Philippines has not become a big deal. But I thought, you know, maybe it's the first time he's ever traveled internationally. And so he said, "We made it. We made it." And I thought, wow, we made it. That's exciting. And so I gave him that five as he extended his five to offer. And he said, "Man, we're still in. We're still in." I'm looking around. I'm thinking, yep, you're right. We're still in. But he said, "We're still in the ministry." He said, "You know, a lot of people by now, you 30-some years have gotten out. They don't last 30-some years like you. They've not lasted 40-some years like me, and we're still in the ministry." Now, can I tell you, I think that that's a little bit of a tribute of trying to maybe walk with God and trying to please the Lord. But I worry about church members nowadays. I like to be able to run up and down the hallway and, for many of you, give you a high five, or if you're short, give you a low five. and be able to, or if you're wide, I can give you a wide five, you know, whatever you want. I like to be able to walk down the hallway and just give you a five and say, hey, man, we made it. We made it, you know. And I like to be able to say that 5 years from now.
That's good.
I like to be able to say that 10 years from now. I like to be able to say that 15 years from now. You know, 15 years from now, I'm only going to be 70, I mean, or so, and that's not really old nowadays. I mean, I see guys in their 80s playing football. They're playing them in wheelchairs, but they're playing football. And can I say this? I think that we ought to have an everyday religion. Now, what can we do to be able to have an everyday religion? Let me give you a couple things. Statement number one, every day, I'm going to use our, if you will, instead of I, but every day offer yourself afresh and anew to God. Every day, every day, every day offer yourself afresh and anew to God. You know, the book of Numbers chapter 29 and verse 6, the Bible tells about the priest. And God instructed them to offer unto the Lord a burnt offering daily. And so they were supposed to go in and they were supposed to offer an offering unto the Lord and burnt offering daily. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1, the Bible talks about how we're supposed to present ourselves holy unto the Lord. All right, now I don't care tonight if you're a preacher. I don't care tonight if you're a missionary. I don't care tonight if you're a Christian educator. I don't care tonight if you're a businessman. I don't care tonight if you're an entrepreneurist. I don't care tonight if you're a Bible college student. I don't care tonight if you're a teenager or a child. I believe that this is good tonight for us to understand that every single day of our life, we ought to offer ourselves to the Lord. Where you get up in the morning and say, dear Lord, today I'm giving you myself. And Lord, I pray that you would use me, Father, to bring honor and glory to you. I pray that you would use me to be a blessing as you bring people across my path and help me to be able to do what I'm supposed to do. And so statement number one, every single day, offer yourself afresh and anew to the Lord. Statement number two, every day, call upon the Lord in prayer. Every day. Not just in emergency zones. Not just in Dallas traffic. Not just all of a sudden if the airplane begins to shiver and you start to go down and it's a rough ride. You know, we know it's time to pray then. We know it's time to get a hold of God then. But I'm talking about every single day, talk to him. As you're going down the highway, keep your eyes open, but talk to him. You know, Paul said to watch and pray. That's good for you to remember when you're driving, okay? And keep your eyes open and watch and pray and pray. And maybe have a prayer request list that you could put on a 3x5 card and put it right there over the speedometer or something, someplace, anywhere. Maybe not over the speedometer. Maybe that's like, yeah. you're speeding down the road, gets up to 80 and you didn't know you were going. And police officer pulls you over and says, did you know you were speeding? No, sir, I was praying. Amen. Okay, so strike that idea right there. Okay? But maybe you could put it somewhere you could remember about praying. All right? So every day, offer yourself freshly to the Lord. Every day, decide that you're going to call upon him in prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 86 and verse 3, as the psalmist speaks, he says, I cry unto thee daily. Daily. And so have a time where daily you can come to God and daily you can take and pray, and daily you can be able to let him hear your heart and the desires thereof. You know, many years ago, as our children were very young, we would get on our knees, my wife and I, Sylvia and I, and we would pray for our children. And we would pray that God would save them at an early age, and they would find God's plan for their life, and if it would be the will of God to call them into the gospel ministry. We would pray. I had one preacher, I said that when I was preaching in a conference someplace, and he came up to me shortly thereafter, and he rebuked me harshly. He said, you ought never to pray that God would see fit to call your children in the gospel ministry. That is wrong. I said, well, you may think it's wrong, and that's probably why you don't do it. And so I'm not going to take and spoil or scold you about it. But since I believe it's okay, don't you scold me either. All right? And so I'm saying this. I'm saying pray. pray. When you have young children, teach them to pray. I remember when our kids were young, we would have family altar at night, and our little bitty ones, boy, they'd open their eyes, and they'd look around the room when it came time for them to pray. They would pray for the bug that was crawling up the wall, or they would pray for the fly as it was trying to make its pathway from one corner of the wall to the other side of the wall, and would pray for safety as it would have a safe journey while it was traveling through the air. And, you know, would pray, mom would be able to see a certain speck of dust and that she would be able to clean that up. And they would just pray about everything, you know. And we would listen to them pray. And, boy, they would just pray about. Now, by the way, that's not bad. They're learning to talk to God. The other day, I went over, and I'd been out soul winning all day long, and it was a good day, and we had the privilege to lead several people to Christ, had several guests that was here today, and I'm so thankful for that. But, you know, as I was out soul winning yesterday, and my wife and I remembered that the Craigs were having a little open house thing and stuff like that, and little Samuel's birthday, they were having something there, and so we went over their house. And I'm sitting there, and some of the children started to come up. And I guess they know that I love them. And so we were sitting there on the couch, and we got to play with some toys on the couch together. And I got to hear some things that was going on in their life. And they started to tell me about this and tell me about that. And one of the little boys came over, and I guess I haven't lost enough weight yet. And so he came over, and he saw that there was this pillow-like image that was on my stomach, and that's called belly. And so he came over and he laid his head on my belly. And I thought, wow, I hope he doesn't fall asleep. I need to go home tonight, you know? All right, now wait a minute, watch this. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, you know, children are gonna be children. You know, children are going to be ones that they want to talk. They want to express themselves. They want to tell you about their toys. They want to tell you about things that happened in their life. And you as a dad, you make time to be able to communicate with your children and let your children spend time with you. And you listen to their little hearts. You listen to as they express themselves. And you be sure, because after all, there's going to be a day when you want them to listen to you. And if you don't take time to listen to them right now, there may come a day when they won't listen to you any longer. And so the same it is as they begin to pray and they begin to pray to the Lord. And don't make fun of them. Let them express their hearts. Let them talk to the Lord. Let them tell what is on their hearts. Listen to them as they do pray. I'm saying you and I also as adults, there ought to be time every day when we call onto the Lord. Statement number three, there ought to be time every single day when we search and we feed ourselves from the Word of God. Every day, get in the Bible. Let the Bible feed you. Let that be the nourishment that you need to be able to help you. The Bible says over in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 11, that there was the Bereans. And the Bible says that they searched the Scriptures daily. And so you be somebody that searches the Scripture. I'm talking to a teenager right now. I'm talking to a young child right now that has the ability to be able to read. I'm talking to that which is an adult tonight. You be sure that every single day in your life that you open the Bible and let the Bible open you. You open the Bible and let the Bible nourish you. You know, isn't it funny? We're always quick to get nourished from the table, the eating table. But should we not be as eager to be nourished from that which is the Word of God? Look, I'm saying this tonight, that every day we ought to allow ourselves to be fed from that which is the Word of God. Let the Word of God nourish you. Oh, you say, but preacher, I don't have a habit in getting in the Bible. Every day, then you ought to make yourself have a habit of getting in the Bible every day. You know, the Bible says this. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right? So now, wait a minute. How can I let the Bible build my faith? By the way, you're not going to build your faith any other way. The only way you're going to build your faith is through that which is the Word of God. I don't care how old you are. And by the way, you understand this. You understand that a person that used to walk with God, if you're not walking with God today, you're not maintaining your strength and you're not getting stronger. You're getting actually weaker. You're becoming a weaker Christian. And it doesn't matter if you earned a position here in our church where you're a Sunday school teacher. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've earned a position in our church and you're a bus captain. That does not matter. It does not matter tonight who you are. But you as an individual and I as an individual, we ought to decide tonight that we're going to take time and get into the Bible and let the Bible get inside of us so that the Bible can help us to be able to grow to become the Christians that we ought to be. Now, I'm saying tonight that every day we ought to offer ourselves afresh and anew to the Lord. Every day we ought to call upon the Lord in prayer. Every day we ought to decide that we're going to search the Bible and allow the Bible to feed us. Every day, statement number next, we ought to decide that we're going to die to sin and self. Die to sin and die to self. Now, by the way, that self will get you in big trouble. It'll get you in big trouble. If you don't learn to die to yourself and die to your sin, every single one of us, dear friend, has a besetting sin. That besetting sin is waiting right there for you. You know what it is. You know what your flesh is weak in. You know that if you do a certain thing, that the devil's going to put a hook in you, and before you know it, he's going to drag you down, and before you know it, you're going to wind up being somebody that's a castaway simply because you were not wise enough to die daily. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, Paul attests to the fact where he says, I die daily. That means every day. That means every day. Again, it doesn't matter who we are. By the way, people that don't die daily get easily offended. They do. They do. You know, oh, okay, all of a sudden somebody says, well, I'm going to leave the church. Yes, I am. I got offended. I'm leaving the church. Why? Many times a person will leave the church because they get their feelings hurt. And they just hold that in. But you know, let me tell you something. You never get your feelings hurt if you die daily. Come on. Oh, come on. Let me help you just a wee bit. I'm going to plow in your backyard just a little bit. But watch this. Did you know this? Did you know that we have people that I've come across? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. At Parkside Baptist Church, I've come across them. And they say, preacher, I just don't have any friends. But they always sit by themselves. Don't make any sense to me. You know, if you want to have friends, you've got to stop being unfriendly. Put yourself a good old goober face on. Amen. Oh, preacher, I thought you're here tonight. You just joined the church not too long ago. You said, but I thought that this church was a highfalutin church. We're not a highfalutin church. That's why we use words such as goober. We like to put it right on out there where everybody can understand. Now, if you can't understand it, look it up and it'll help you. But now, wait a minute. Here's what I'm saying tonight. I'm saying if you want friends, you got to be friendly. You know, come handshaking time, dear beloved friend. I'm just trying to help you a little bit. Don't just stand there in your little nest. I'm just going to stand here because I'm privileged. Why are you privileged? Who told you you're privileged? Oh, but it's because my parents are such and such. We don't even know your parents. You walk around, shake hands. Oh, but I'm just not that type. Well, okay, then stay in your nest, but when somebody else comes to shake your hand, at least shake their hand back. I mean, come on. You know, if we want to continue to have a friendly church, you've got to loosen up a little bit. You know, if you're stuck on you, that's the wrong you to be stuck on. Amen. You know, people think, well, I tell you what, I deserve. I hear that all the time. Don't you? Doesn't it make you sick? I deserve. I'm going to tell you what you deserve, dear friend. You deserve to burn in hell. That's what you deserve. You say, that's too sharp for me. Okay, let me say it backwards. Hell is where you deserve to burn. And you've got to get a grip on this thing tonight that you're just not somebody super special. You and I are saved by grace, and because of the good grace of God tonight, we get to go to church. Hey, we get to go soul winning. Hey, we get to hear good old-fashioned preaching. Hey, we get to hear good old-fashioned singing. Hey, we get to come to a place where the preacher says, hey. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying we understand the Bible, and the Bible is true. And can I tell you something tonight? You and I ought to decide that we're going to be people that we're going to die. Don't let somebody hurt your feelings. By the way, if you don't have your feelings stretched out all over the place, people would stop stepping on it. Put it back inside of you and keep it there. Stop putting it out there for somebody to step on. You say, well, somebody hurt my feelings. Well, that's your fault. You put it out there for them. Pull it back in. Stuck it back in there. Get it back. Put it back in there. Hold your feelings in so that somebody don't bother. Well, they sat in my pew. Good. They parked in my parking spot. Wonderful. They said amen before I was supposed to. Who cares? They sang my song. Probably did a better job. You say, you just hurt me. Sorry. I'm saying this. May I say this tonight as kindly? I'm trying to be kind. You know, every one of us should offer ourselves afresh and anew to God. Every single one of us should call upon the Lord in prayer every day. Every single one of us should search the scriptures and let God speak to our hearts every day. Every day we should die daily and die to self and sin. Die daily. You know it as well as I know it. You know what is going to pull you down. You know what your greatest temptation is. You know what your trouble is. Don't let that pull you down. Statement number next, I'm almost done. You've almost made it through. Okay? Every day, speak to others about the Lord. Every day. Every day. Just speak to others about the Lord. Carry gospel tracts. Pass them out. Talk to others about the... You say, but big day's over, but Jesus is still coming. All right, so every day, don't just be this person that just does it every so once in a while. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let it be real to you. Let eternity be real. I'm so glad. Now, I hope everybody gets saved at a young age. I really do. I surely do. I wish everybody gets saved at the age of 4, 5, 6, and 7, or maybe even 3 if they have that type of understanding. I hope that everybody gets saved at such a young age. That's a wonderful thing. But can I tell you, I'm glad I got saved at age 18. I'm glad that when I received Christ as my Savior, I can look back and see where I came from. I'm so glad about that. You know, because I've not lost the thrill of it. I've not lost the thrill of knowing where God saved me from. I know where I was. And God saved me from. And that's why it's so real to me, see? That's why I carry gospel tracts everywhere I go, see? I didn't have the privilege. The privilege to come up in the preacher's home. I didn't have the privilege to come up in, yes, even a Christian's home. No, I came up in a very religious, unsaved, unorthodox home when it came to religious living in the house. And can I tell you, hey, I'm glad I got saved. I'm so glad. But because I got saved at such a late age in life, it means so much to me. It's so real to me. I mean, I want everybody to be saved. I don't want anybody to have to go through what I went through. And can I tell you tonight, Jesus Christ is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, I'm saying that every day you ought to speak to others about Christ. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. The Bible says that that's what Peter did. That's what John did. It's very interesting if you link that up, by the way, to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. You'll see that their conversation was about the Lord. They conversed about the Lord. They were talking about the Lord. Now, can I tell you, here's the real deal. All of a sudden, pull your chair up there, Brother Craig, and all of a sudden, Brother Craig invites me over his house, and I go over to Brother Craig's house, and we sit around, we chat. Go ahead and sit down. We're chatting now. And so we sit around, and we just chat. We just talk. We just talk. We just talk. We just talk. Man, we've talked about all the automobiles. Yes. We've talked about our hunting excursions. Oh, yeah. We talked about our fishing expeditions. Ooh, yeah. We talked about the horses we rode. Oh, yes, we did. We talked about all the land that we had plowed up as youth. Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And now we're talking about the Lord. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And then after a while, if you're not careful, you'll start talking about things you shouldn't talk about. And after a while, you start to philosophize about things that you have no earthly idea what the right philosophy is. And before you know it, you start hurting each other. And before you know it, he says, well, I guess, preacher, it's time for you to go now because I've got to put my child to bed. It's 6:02. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, let's let our conversation, we're done. Let's let our conversation be about the Lord. Amen. Let your conversation be about the Lord. You can't get in trouble talking about the Lord. Hey, talk about his goodness. Talk about how he's answered your prayer. Talk about how God has used your precious little children to pass out gospel tracts. Talk about the person that you led to Christ. Talk about your big day on the bus. Talk about your Bible reading. Talk about the things of God. I'm saying tonight, if you would spend time talking about God, you'd spend less time talking about other people and getting yourself in a mess. I'm saying tonight, every day, we ought to talk to others about the Lord. I've got two more statements. I'm done. All right? I said statement number one. That means I'm starting all over again. I said statement number one, that every day we ought to offer ourselves to the Lord afresh and anew. I said statement number two, every day we ought to call upon the Lord in prayer. I said statement number three, every day we ought to search the Scriptures and to feed upon the Word of God. I said statement number four, every day we ought to die to sin and to self. I die daily. I said statement number five, every day we ought to speak to others about the Lord. Statement number six, almost done. Here it is. I'm pulling up. And every day we ought to offer somebody that has a need. Offer help. Offer help to somebody that has a need. Now, by the way, you can do that no matter who you are. You don't have to have a lot of money to be able to help somebody. Open the door for somebody. Open the door for somebody. Go buy somebody a meal. Offer maybe to pump gas for somebody at a gas station that's having trouble pumping the gas. Offer to carry some older person's groceries out of the store for them. Help them put them in the car. You find out some of our older people are getting ready to repaint a room. Hey, offer to go over there and help them repaint that room. Offer to mow somebody's lawn. Offer yourself. Don't be so wrapped up in yourself that you've got to go home and just sit on a couch somewhere and become a couch potato. No, get out and experience life. People are good. People are kind. People need help. People need encouragement. Go up to somebody. Don't live in your little box. You say, well, it's my family and I. Oh, stop it. Take your family. Let your family serve God too. Let your family help somebody else. Take your family down to a soup kitchen somewhere and serve soup to those that live on the street in the wintry times. Hello? Have a other's Christmas, and you find somebody in your neighborhood, and you know they're not going to have a good Christmas. Buy yourself the presents that you need for your kids, but buy presents for somebody else in your neighborhood. Love somebody else. Reach out to somebody else. Help somebody else. You say, but I don't have much. You don't need much to be able to help somebody else. All you've got to decide is give yourself to somebody else. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, exhort one another daily. He says, while it is called today. Isn't that something? He said, while it's called today. He said, what I want you to do is exhort one another. All right. So today, go. Don't let it waste. Can I tell you? Don't let it waste. Today, I cannot begin to tell you how many illustrations I've heard, real life situations, where somebody went off. They went on a trip and they came back, and mom and daddy was dead, or mom was dead, dad was dead. Real life situations. I cannot begin to tell you how many young people I've heard in real life situations that rushed out of a house. And as they rushed out of the house, they yelled in anger. They cursed with their words. They slammed the door, only to find out when they came home, dad or mama had a heart attack and was gone. You have no idea, dear friend. You have no idea. Learn to appreciate people while you know you have them. To appreciate them, I think of our dear friend, Philip Wynn. Philip Wynn. Pastor of the Abilene Baptist Church, Philip Wynn. He was diagnosed with cancer and died, I would say just within 5 to 7 days he died. Never knew he had cancer until right there at the very end, and he took his last breath. Now, can I tell you, you have no idea. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to shock you. I'm just giving you a truthful reality. You ought to thank God for your parents every single day. You know why? Because you have them today. You ought to thank God. I said, thank God. Thank God for that teenager that you got. You say, but they're not perfect, but they're yours. They're yours. Thank God for them and tell them every single day how much you love them. Tell them every single day how much they mean to you. Thank God for those students that you have sitting in your classroom in the academy. Thank God for those students that you have sitting in your classroom in the college. Thank God every day for them. And be able to express to them how much you care and how much you love and how much you appreciate them. Be the person that will express how true they can have a friend inside of you. I'm saying this and I'm done. Every day, help someone else. Help someone else that has a need. Help someone else. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Are you listening to me? It doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be just a little thing. It's so funny. The other night, Joshua was leaving. And I saw him driving across the parking lot or something. I don't know. And I saw his headlight was out. I said, son, your headlight is out. And he said, yes, sir. And so he got out there and he did the Baptist thing. He took his hand, started hitting it, you know, and the headlight came on. Now, by the way, the Baptist thing don't stay headlights on. It normally goes back out, but it did. And so he's pulling off the parking lot, and I said, your headlight is out. Well, I pulled in behind him because we're heading home about the same way. And so all of a sudden, my phone rings. Now, don't get mad at me. I answered my phone. Oh. But you see, I got a machine now that's in my car. You plug it in, you answer it just like that. I wasn't illegal. I bought that. It cost me a lot of money, and I'm poor. And so I answered that machine. And so when I answered that calling machine there, and Josh's voice came on the phone, he said, you're following me, aren't you, Dad? I said, yeah, I'm going the same way you are. He said, your headlight's out. I believe he deliberately stuck behind my back and put my headlight out. I believe that. And I said, well, I'll take care of it tomorrow. And so, sure enough, he went to the store and got a light for mine and got a light for his too and fixed them both. Now, I'm saying this. Just find somebody in need and help somebody in need. Help somebody in need. Help a college student. Help somebody that's older in her church. Help one of the children. You find one of our students, one of our children, whether homeschool, private school, or whether at academy. We're a church family, folks. You know, find somebody that's having a hard time with a subject matter and offer your services to them and love them and help them and encourage them. That's what church families do, you see. Find somebody and help them. Statement number last, and I'm done. Every day that you live, work in light of the Savior coming. Work in light of the Savior coming. The next thing I believe on God's prophetic timetable, I believe this with all my heart, is the rapture. Oh, yeah. Now, can I tell you this? I'm saying that it could happen any minute. I'm saying it could happen any day. Now, because of that, we ought to live for Christ in every way. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34, the Bible says, blessed is the man that heareth me. It says, watching daily in my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. All right? And so you be that person that just knows that, oh, I tell you what, I just don't know. I just don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring us up again, if you will, please, or bring us up, not again, but bring us up at the rapture. And so may I say this tonight, we ought to live like the rapture is going to take place, yes, even tonight, because you don't know. You don't know. That's why you ought to be friendly. That's why you ought to shake hands. That's why you ought to love people. That's why you ought to find somebody that's having a hard time and put your life inside of them. Put your life inside of them. You know, I found out many years ago, if I wanted to get to know somebody, I personally intrude. I do. I intrude. You say, don't you feel bad about it? Not a bit. Not a bit. I figure if they don't want me to get to know them, then they'll shove me away. Hello. So I find, because I want preachers to help me, because I want to be a good preacher for you. So I find some of these guys that God's using and God has used for 40, 50, 60 years, and stand up, and here's what happens. So Dimitri, stand right there. Just stand right there. You're okay. And so here's what happens. I'll go up to them, and I'll say, man alive, it is good to see you. Good to see you.
You too.
Thank you. And what I do is I intrude in their life. I intrude. So what are you doing? I'm putting myself inside of their life. Now, we got to get a hold of something here. Thank you. Be seated. We got to get a hold of something, and that is this. You're waiting for somebody to come up and get to know you. That's what you're doing. You're saying, well, I tell you what, if they appreciated me, they'd come up and get to know me. What in the world do you think you are? Movie star, Baptist too? Next thing, you're going to want them to sign your Bible. You know, an autograph, you know, you autograph a picture for them. Then you charge them for having it. No. No. You just intrude is what you do. And so you want to get to know someone. That's what I do with these preachers. It is. I'm telling you, here's my secret. Yes, it is. I'll go up to them and I'll see somebody and I'll say, hey, brother, great to see you. God bless you. I've heard good things about your work. Amen. And I tell you what, I'm just so glad that we get to shake hands today. And I've been wanting to meet you for a long time. You know what I did? I just brought myself into his life. That's what I did. I just brought myself into his life right there. Okay? Now, you can do that in church. Come on. You can do that in church. You can go up to somebody and say, hey, listen, I sit over on this side, and I'd sure like for you to join this side over here because this side's a whole lot more spiritual than that side.
Amen.
That's what you could say. You know, you could get them to come and say, now, I'm just pretending you're going to leave hurt feelings because you didn't die daily. That's the problem. But now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, put yourself in somebody else's life. Put yourself in somebody. Look, you realize that. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I believe that men of God are great men, but I don't believe they're perfect men. Right. I understand what I'm saying tonight. I've never met a man of God that's perfect. Never. And the closer I get to them, the more I see their imperfections. Ooh. But here's what happens if you're not careful. Stand up, you're a man of God. Stand up. And you see this man of God comes to our church, and you'll just come up to him. And it's like, And you won't get to know them. Don't do that. Now, don't be cocky. Don't be arrogant. Be respectful. Be humble. But to go up to him, shake hands. Dr. Brown, good to see you. Thank you so much for coming. It means a lot to all of us. And walk away. You know, then if you hold him in very high esteem, you could say, I shook his hand. I'm not going to wash it for a month. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having preachers as those that I'd rather for you, listen to me, I'd rather for you to look up to a preacher than to somebody that's running drugs. I'd rather for you to look up to a man of God that's going to do something for God than somebody that's going to hurt somebody. But I'm saying, you know, and I'm not saying be arrogant. I'm just trying to give some thoughts to this, okay? But I am saying, if you want to get to know somebody, you know, you want to get to know another lady in the church, go up as a lady and introduce yourself to the lady. Hi, my name is Sally Lou. What is your name?
Susie.
Nice to meet you, Susie. All right? And so, now, I'm saying this. Go up and talk to people. Talk to people. You know, the other day we went out to eat and I'm done, but the other day we took her college. We took her college over, and Susie, I'm glad you're here tonight, by the way. But oh no. Hey, don't start calling him that. I know, I'm so sorry, man. I know everybody could come up and say, Susie, Susie. And what you ought to do is say, well, Brenda, how are you? But now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Now, listen to me. And so the other day, we took our college kids, you know, Lone Star Baptist college kids, and we were going over to the state fair. And so they thought that they would do a good job for us in the place that we ate. And so they put, they got our orders ahead of time, and they gave us all a number. Gave us all a number. And so we all had a number. We're supposed to sit. We're not supposed to move the papers. We were told that. And so we're supposed to sit where the papers were. And so they scattered us out all over the place. You know, that was good for our young people. You know, that was good for our adults. You know why? Because they're used to sitting with each other all the time. That made them talk to somebody that they were not used to talking to. You know that? You know, sometimes that's hard. It's hard because normally we're clingish. You know how I said we're clingish? You know how that is? You get one friend, and that one friend you just cling to. You know? And it's like, nobody else can be the friend of my friend because that's my friend. And we cling. By the way, couples are that way too. We have women in our church. I said women. We have women in our you better watch it, Bubba. And so, but we got ladies in our church, and here's what they want to do. They want to find one other lady in the church that will be their best friend forever. But can I tell you, that's not always best. You will never fly with the eagles if you don't spread your wings. Now, be friends with everyone. Be friendly with everyone. Be kind to everyone. You say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm preaching for an hour and a half. That's what I'm doing. Now, I'm saying this, and I'm done. Here it is. I'm saying this tonight. Please listen to me. I'm saying, listen, there ought to be some things that we do on a daily basis. And if we would put those things in our life, it would help us to enjoy Christianity more. It'd help us enjoy church more. It'd help us not to be so stuck up and stuck on. I mean, it would help us to be what we ought to be for other people in a real way. Now, Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.